When we talk about what a trailblazer is, it's usually associated with the words pathfinder, pioneer, or vanguard. So how about we add change agent to that? Welcome to Trailblazers Radio, a unique podcast platform that speaks about a myriad of subjects. We are not afraid of opening closed doors, and we always tell it like it is, period. We are accessible on various social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also accessible on various streaming audio platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so much more. It is our mission to ensure that you are educated, entertained, and edified. And we thank you for tuning in to us. What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing on this Monday afternoon? Welcome to Man Cave Conversations and the Check-In. So this is going to be my first show coming back from surgery that I had on the 4th. 13 days in. I feel good. I feel wonderful. It's definitely a way. It definitely feels good to be able to breathe again and be able to have a comfortable sleep. So I feel good about that. I feel really good about that. But I want to thank you guys for those who are going to be watching now and then, those who are going to be watching during the replay. Just wanted to come up here for a moment or two. I'm not going to be up here very long. But I wanted to talk about something that's vitally important for us as men. But also I think it's going to be something that's going to be very important. That's going to have very great importance when it comes to us as men, because sometimes I think it is generally the consensus that we as men don't have emotions, and that's not even the case. That's not true. Some of us as men, and we have a difficult time navigating our emotions. And hey, Miss Michelle, how are you doing? Thank you for tuning in. I most definitely appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Gotta have you back on the show, Miss Michelle, because I know you. I've seen some of your posts on Instagram and Facebook, and also on TikTok. So yeah, we gotta have you back and talk about that. So let's chat about that. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is how I want to find the best way to put this without it being extraneous or difficult to understand or digest. Like I said earlier, some of us as men, not all of us, but some of us as men have difficulty navigating our emotions. That stems from a great myriad of things. Whether it's through something that happened in our childhood, whether it's something that happened in our adulthood, or whether it's something that happened to us, you know, recently or not so recently. But navigating through our emotions is something that we have a hard time doing. And I want to specifically speak to me, how I found it difficult to navigate through my, how I found it, and then at times find it difficult to navigate my emotions. And there's no, I don't know where to begin, but I find difficulty in knowing or trying to understand where to begin with that. we never taught that, you know, that my emotions mattered, or that they made sense, you know, that they were important for me to grow as a person. I just understood that they were there. I knew when I was happy. I knew when I was sad. But I didn't understand the other emotions that came with that. You know, despondency, desperation, confusion, you know, all these other things. And so I wasn't taught the, how can I put this, the spectrum of my emotions. Didn't understand how they were interconnected with my physical well-being or with my mental well-being. I never understood that connection until I got older. And that's why I say I find difficulty in where I should begin. Where should I begin as far as the navigation of my emotions, or how did I come to the part to where I could safely navigate the turbulent waters of my emotions? If I had to start somewhere, it would probably be around 1996, 1997, somewhere around that time. And I know those who have tuned into us, those who have watched us, those who have seen us, those who have watched us, I've told this story several times. Being incarcerated for spousal battery was a rough thing for me. I was scared. I was petrified. I was mortified. I was embarrassed and I felt like I had let my father and my mother down because of what I did. And it was a rough ordeal for me. It was a very rough ordeal for me. I'd always prided myself on being someone who had self-control, or to the very least some limited form of self-control. And that day I didn't have that. Then still emerging from that situation, very cautious about how I moved around people, how I moved around women. At that time, keeping my interactions with women to just being sexual encounters. Then going to Washington State just to be in a situation to where I was mistreated by someone, and then having to remove myself from that situation, you know. And that took a greater toll on me. I felt weak, felt unworthy, felt not wanted, felt not desired, not anything. Which led to my first attempt at removing myself from this plane of existence. Unsuccessful, obviously, since I'm still here. You know, and still, some of those things still contend with. Because I never thought that was something that would happen to me being a man. Never thought that that was something that would be, that would ever happen to me as a man. Never even, never in a million years did I think that that was something that was going to be, that was going to happen. You know, I never thought that, never gave it any particular type of cognizant conversation or thought process, you know? And I was kind of stuck, kind of at a standstill with all that, trying to navigate all that, trying to process that, trying to process what I went through through the course of a couple of years. I was difficult. That was a difficult thing to process, and especially me being a young man. I think I was somewhere between maybe 25, 26 at the time. So that was hard for me. That was a hard thing for me to process. And then, going through the things that I went through in California, those were some rough years. Those are some rough times. And, you know, you try your best to navigate through those things. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Don't get me up here giving me all misty eyed. I mean, this me talking about this right here is already putting me in that vein, really. But thank you. So it was difficult for me to navigate, try to make sense of all that and put that in some form of perspective, some form of understanding. And I couldn't. And usually when you try to make sense of something and you want to try to understand what that means and what it means for you and how it affects you, and then you aren't able to do so, that's frustrating. That's frustration. Confusion turned to frustration, and frustration turned into one of the emotions that I think a lot of us as men identify with all too well. Anger. And everything for me was either an angry response. Whether it was some words said in anger or was an angry physical reaction. And that made a lot of people very wary of wanting to be around me, especially at that time. And again, I'm 24, 25, and I'm navigating being put through that ordeal, and then also surviving an attempt to remove myself from this plane of existence. Not to mention dealing with issues with my family. Trying to reconcile a relationship with my father and trying to understand reasons as to why my mother and my father's relationship wasn't no longer existent. And trying to navigate the emotions that came with that. You know, understanding that my father had remarried and, you know, things of that nature, and trying to come to grips with that, but with that. And that in and of itself was difficult. There was a lot of anger there. A lot of resentment, a lot of questions that at the time were not properly answered, questions that were dodged. And it was a lot, man. There's a lot to take in, a lot to digest, a lot to come to grips with. And again, that was diff- it was that was difficult. That was a difficult transit. That was a difficult thing for me. And at times it still is a difficult thing for me to deal with because there's still some unrequited emotions there. And that's something that I'm sort of trying to sort out. So there was a lot of things roiling inside me. Is that, you know, this once calm sea was now, but this once calm sea became a turbulent ocean of anger and confusion, exacerbated by a lack of understanding, a lack of explanation. You know, certain things had remained inexplicable. Certain things weren't explained. Certain things were not understood. Were not overstood. Certain actions were taken to put certain people in a different light than others. And though it was a noble gesture and things of that nature, though it was noble in gesture, the act in and of itself just brought about more anger, more confusion, more inexplicable, still things that weren't explained until way later. And even I can't say this for my other brothers. I really can't, because I can only speak for me. There's still some things that I didn't understand. There's still some stuff that I didn't understand. There's still some stuff that I didn't understand. And the simple fact of the matter is because it wasn't that I did not want to understand. It's just that I couldn't understand. And like I said, to this day, there's still some things that I fight with as far as that's concerned. Navigating my emotions with that, as far as I'm concerned, just trying to figure out, you know, just making sense of all of it and trying to put and make peace with it. And for me, that's been the hardest thing, to make peace with certain instances and incidents that have occurred in my 51 years of living. My 51, soon to be 52, soon and hopefully blessed to see 52 years of living. And that's been difficult. That's been hard. You know, going through life, feeling that you are inadequate. Going through life feeling that I was inadequate. Going through life feeling that I was unwanted, not needed, not enough of a man to handle certain, not enough of a man to handle certain responsibilities. Just feeling like I had no purpose, or that my life did not have a purpose. And that was a crazy experience. And when I look back on it, I think that, you know, damn, you went through a lot, you endured a lot, you took in a lot, You didn't really say much about it. And for good reason, perhaps, maybe for good reason, I didn't say about it. Maybe for the fact of not really wanting to be wrathful or react or act in anger, you know, because there are times that I think a lot of us can agree to disagree with this. And we as human beings are most or sometimes more reactive or a lot more reactive than we say that we're not reactive. Most of my reactions were mostly angry outbursts. Things that extracted a cost. Just like I've always said, choices have consequences. Actions have consequences. You know, and I guess if I had to keep talking about navigating my emotions, I can talk about and again, I apologize for, you know, the emotion. I'm not going to apologize for the emotions that I have up here, because I mean, the people that know me know that when I talk about certain subjects, I usually put me to the forefront because I want to be able to have I want this to be to a place where brothers can understand that, you know, I want to put my experiences out there so brothers can understand that certain things are okay, certain feelings and navigating and trying to, and certain things are okay, and that it's okay to try to navigate your emotions. But if I had to go to a place to where I traveled that was the most turbulent, I could go to 2015, to where I learned that my son had passed, or that my son was removed from this plane of existence. So I know certain things are not viable to say on Facebook. So for the sake of saying it, or for saying it and possibly getting my page and other folks' pages shut down, I won't say it. I'll just say that he was removed from this plane of existence, and I'll leave it at that. That was and still has been the most difficult time of my life. And for obvious reasons, you as a parent, you want to be the one to leave this plane of existence before your children. It should never be the opposite. Let's just say that in us talking, it should never be the opposite. As a parent, you want your children to outlive you. You want your children to have the best life possible. You want your children to succeed. We want our children to be successful. We want our children to surpass us, right? And that didn't come to pass. My oldest son, Kwanzaa Jamal Beattie, passed before I, you know, unfortunately, left this plane of existence, left this plane of existence. And like I said before, it was the most, it is still the most difficult thing for me to deal with. Difficult. It's the most difficult thing for me to endure because of the enormous effect that it had on me. The simple fact of, I guess the fact of watching, of seeing my child's lifeless body there. And when we went to the burial site to where he was to be laid to rest, the painful and stark reality finally hit me that he wasn't coming back from this. He wasn't going to recover from this. He wasn't going to bounce back from this. He wasn't going to recover from this. And he wasn't going to be around to see his daughter's birth. The reality of that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I try to keep those emotions hidden. I tried to keep those emotions hidden, but they manifested into one emotion that I was familiar with and that I was comfortable with dealing with, which was anger. I was angry at everybody. I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. More importantly, I was angry with myself. Because me being his father, I felt that I had failed him. That I wasn't able to protect him from that particular thing. And just so everybody knows, failure is an emotion too. It's not just a thing. Failure is an emotion too. I felt like I failed him. And that brought about an even starker reality. Because I felt like I failed my children, my other children, his brothers and his sister. Because now the guilt of not being a father that was present in my children's lives was something that hit me like a ton. That hit me harder than any boxing punch that someone could throw at me. That's how hard it hit me. And as much as I thought I had defense, had some sort of defense for it, my defense was inadequate. And as much as I wanted to press forward, Every time I pressed forward, I was stopped in my tracks. And that anger cost me a very good job. And for years, I dealt with that anger, that despondency, that anger with God, that anger with myself, that anger with the person who perpetrated the act and the people who said that this act was justified. I'm not naming any names. It's name calling at this point. Name calling at this juncture is pointless. So I'm not naming names. But I was angry. And for years, as these instances prolonged and kept going on, I'm just gonna call a spade here. Those instances of violence that went on. And I kept seeing those images on TV, on my Facebook news feed. And that's all I saw up and down my timeline. And here I am a father fresh off losing a child, going through all these emotions and all these things, confused about a lot of stuff, but then still trying to navigate that and still be a husband, still be a father, still try to be a father, still try to be an upstanding, happy, consistent worker. And still trying to remain active in my church. And I found those things difficult to do. I found those things difficult to do. Hey, sis, how are you? Thank you for tuning in. Glad you could come aboard. And like I said earlier, I found these things difficult to do. I found no joy in working. I found no joy in being an active member in my church. Like I said, it brought me no joy. It brought me no completion, no nothing. Thank you, sis. I appreciate that. I really, really do. So how should a person navigate all this stuff? How was I supposed to navigate my emotions while still trying to be a productive employee, a content and active member of my church, and a loving husband and father to my spouse and children at the time? Difficult road to navigate, difficult sea to navigate, in which 3 years after that, we came across some tough times, and there were words that were said again, feeling like a failure, which culminated into my second attempt. Again, unsuccessful. But it left me with more questions than answers. It left me with way more questions than I had answers for. God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you punishing me? What did I do to deserve such a wrath? I really thought that God was angry at me because I was angry at him. What did I do to deserve such a wrath? What did I do to feel to be able to feel the way that I felt? What did I do to feel like I had nothing? I had nothing. Why? What did I do to feel like such a failure? What did I do to? What did I do to deserve all this? To this day, I didn't get an answer. I haven't gotten an answer for that question, and I don't think I ever will get an answer to that question. And I'm at this juncture in my life, I'm okay with that. So for me, after that attempt, life went on. I had no choice but to move on. I had no choice but to allow life to move on. Despite me trying to do my best to navigate my emotions and trying to figure out what the hell is going on with me, life still had to go forward. I still had to get up and work. I still had to show up on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays at church. I still had to be a father. I still had to be a husband. So just because you feel a certain way, life still has to move on. I still had to be a productive worker. Still had to be a husband. Still had to be an active and productive member of church, of my church, at the time. You know, and feeling as if there were times where I felt like I didn't belong. That was one of the more outside of the despondency, outside the feeling of futility, all those other emotions, outside of the desperation, I literally felt like I did not belong. I felt like I didn't belong in the church that I went to. I felt like I didn't belong. Felt like I didn't deserve the friends. I felt like I didn't deserve the friends that I had at the time. And honestly speaking, when I look back upon it now, it's not their fault. It wasn't Apostle or Prophetess Rogers' fault. that I felt that way. It wasn't anybody's fault that I felt that way. And the answer to your question is why I feel like I didn't deserve them, because honestly speaking, I felt like I didn't do enough to deserve them. I felt like I didn't do enough to earn or retain their friendship. And again, this is just a thought process of mine. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I didn't do anything to earn or retain their friendship. I felt like I wasn't doing my part in the friendship. Friendship is supposed to be a two-way road, right? And I felt like I didn't do enough in the friendship, in that interpersonal relationship. Like it wasn't anybody's fault that I felt that way. Nor was it anybody's burden to assist if they so wanted to, or if they wanted to do so, you know. It wasn't Prophetess Rogers' fault that I felt this way. It wasn't Apostle Rogers' fault that I felt this way. That's not on them. And it wasn't any of the members in the church home that I had at the time's fault that I felt that way. It wasn't on them either. I'm the one that put distance to people. I'm the one that pulled myself away from them, that put distance to those people. I'm the one that pulled myself away from those people. I'm the one that separated myself from those people. It wasn't on them. Though at the time I blamed them. Not just the folks in my church, but the people that I was friends with. I blamed them for being insensitive. I blamed them for being inconsiderate. I blame them for not being open to what I was feeling, or at least to the very least try to understand what I was feeling. So because I assumed they didn't understand what I was feeling, because I assumed they didn't care about what I was thinking, or what I was contemplating, or what I was going through, because I assumed that, I separated myself. And I pulled away. Became very antisocial. You know, didn't really want to talk to nobody, and didn't really want to be participatory in things of that nature. I mean, though I did so. Yeah, there needed to be a conversation there, LSG, but at the time I wasn't open to it. I'm gonna straight out say it and admit it. I wasn't there should have been a conversation there, yeah. But at the time, I wasn't open to it. I wasn't open to it because I had been content with feeling the way that I felt at the time, which was angry and all this other stuff. I was content in that. And my thought process was, they don't care about me, so why should I care about them? And one of the emotions that I have, besides grief and anger that I have up that I have difficulty navigating, is the emotion of regret. I regret feeling that way. I regret ever saying those things. I regret not being more open and more honest with what I felt at the time. You know, if there was a way for me to apologize and seek absolution for that, I would, if they were willing to listen. But also in the same instance, if they didn't want to listen, I would wholeheartedly understand. Because the onus is on me. It was strictly all on me. And it's still one of the, not, you know, the loss of a child, the loss of me losing my son created, you know, it created a downfall. I won't even call it a downfall. It put me in a downward spiral that almost reached terminal velocity in 2020. It almost reached a terminal velocity in 2020, and at this point I was so tired. I was tired of just feeling as if I wasn't heard, feeling as if I wasn't loved, feeling like I wasn't cared for, feeling like I didn't deserve anything. And all those things. So I made another attempt in 2020, again, unsuccessful, of course. You would think after three tries, one would have learned a lesson, right? No. No. Excuse me. And I'm laughing at them now because hindsight is 2020 vision, right? And I think after feeling like I was not loved, I was not cared for, I was not wanted, I made a conscious decision to try to change my environment. Part of that meant separating myself from the people that I'd cultivated relationships with, friendships with, being separating myself from those people that I'd known for years. Also separating myself from my now ex-spouse. That is true, sis. That is very, very true. And when you're in the heart of a situation, your view
It was not even a maybe distorted. It is your view will be distorted. Because you're looking at it from the aspect of emotions. You're looking at it from the aspect of how you feel or how you don't feel. And most of the time we can look at it from the heart of a situation and from that aspect of it, but we have to temper that with some form of logic, some form of common sense, because you got to try to make things make sense. So like I said earlier, in 2020, I decided to separate myself from those people that I assumed never cared. Now, there are things that I keep is extremely private. And one of the things that I think that hurt me the most is that when, you know, someone that I considered a friend called me a coward. For not wanting to stick things out and endure. And that angered me, but it also hurt me to my core. Consider myself a stand-up person. I consider myself someone who was able to at least make an attempt to try something. And I was called a coward. I never considered myself a coward in any way, shape, or form. I don't consider myself that. But this person considered me to be that and thought that less of me to call me that, which is fine. I'm okay with being called that now. I wasn't okay with it then. I'm okay with it now because it's not who I am now. And it was never a representation of who I was. Maybe a representation of what someone assumed that I was, but be that it may. That, you know, called me, I was coward because I didn't have the emotional and the mental or physical fortitude to stand, you know? And that I was weak because I chose to quote unquote run. Because I chose to walk away from an issue instead of trying to resolve it. I walked away from that with knowing that there was going to be backlash. There was going to be a lot of other things. And I was prepared for that. I was prepared for that. So now I'm navigating the emotions of going through a going through something that was painful to endure, but also something that painful, that was painful to endure. And I endured it and emerged from it. But there was, you know, there's, and I think everybody thinks that there's, when you go through certain things or you endure through some things, there's a feeling of regret. No, I, with this, no, there was no regrets in this, in what I, and what I did, and what I, and there was no regrets in what I did. There were no regrets in me going through that divorce, because what I did was for the best, for the better, for the best of me, for it was for the better of me. To continually feel like I wasn't being heard or being ignored or not being cared about the way that I would imagine myself to be cared about. That was, I did that for the betterment of me. I said this in a podcast earlier with Shawan and somebody, and with LSG and some other folks. How long is it before you find it, before you get for the fight that you have is kicked out of you? There's only so much fight someone can have before it's completely removed from them. Some people have the emotional fortitude to keep fighting. Some people have the emotional and the mental fortitude to keep fighting. And emotional and mental fortitude to keep fighting is one thing, but if you lack the physical fortitude to keep fighting, then what's the difference in fighting? If you know you want to fight in your mind and you are fighting your emotions, but your body's not capable or incapable of doing that, because you've been fighting for so long and you've been knocked down so many times that this next, you know, you have to do everything to remain upright. Cause if you don't, the next knockdown could literally take you out. So but yet here we are. Or should I say, here I am. It was from that point forward I decided to do better for myself, be better for myself. It was from that point forward I wanted to do better and be better for myself. It was from that point forward that I needed to find some way to improve myself, to have someone help me navigate these things called emotions, right? And I wanted to try to navigate these emotions for myself to better understand who I was and who I was. Or where I was actually, so that way I can get to where I want to be, get to where I am, you know. So at the time, I needed help, so I went and got it. Understood, you know, that Depression was something that continuously follows me even now at 51 years old. I'm still subject to bouts of depression. But what I didn't know is that, you know, anxiety and PTSD were something that anxiety and depression was something that was that accompanied anxiety and PTSD, I'm sorry, were things that accompanied that as well. I never knew that I had been suffering from that, from both of those things. I never knew that I had suffered from PTSD, never suffered from PTSD. I served as a veteran. I served in the Navy, but I was not a combat vet. I was not a combat veteran. Kind of find out that PTSD stemmed from me losing my child, and also being subjected to all the things that happened thereafter. Seeing all those images on TV, seeing all those images on social media and hearing all the news reports on TV of those types of indiscretions and those types of actions. I didn't know that. Had no earthly idea. To learn about these things, and to know that you said that you suffer, that you, I won't say suffer, to know that you are living with those conditions is, how can I say this properly? To know that I was living with those, with these conditions that I am living with these conditions is humbling. and also very frightening. Because I'm trying to better understand what triggers these conditions. What's the catalyst for them to be set off like that? So I'm diving deep into understanding what they are, what they are not, what this means for me as a man, and how I can combat it, or at least find a way to control or curtail it. But also at the same time, looking for ways to properly navigate the sea of my emotions without having that emotional breakdown, without having that mental collapse. Because I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I have good days. I have my good days. And on my good days, when I'm switched on, I am on. I'm 100% locked in. I'm doing what I have to do, and I'm making things happen. But there are also days where I'm off. And when I'm off, I'm off. There are days where I've felt despondency. There's days where I felt despair. There are days where I felt fear, and fear and everything else. And there are days where I have cried. there are days where and when I say cried, I mean I've cried uncontrollably and inexplicably. Because I was overwhelmed with an overwhelming amount of emotions that I was feeling. And instead of just allowing it to go through me, I tried to suppress it and say, hey, I don't need this right now. I don't need to be enduring with this right now. I don't even need to have to deal with this right now. But instead of just pulling myself aside and confronting what I was feeling, I suppressed it, paid it no mind, left it alone. Didn't deal with it immediately. That's the wrong thing. That makes the ocean that I was traveling on much more turbulent. It's bad enough I'm already getting tossed. My ship is already getting tossed to and fro. And my ship is taking damage as I'm traveling. And I'm gonna tell y'all, brothers, when you're traveling on that sea of all these turbulent emotions, and these emotions are not necessarily reined in, or to the very least understood, it makes it very, very bad. I won't say bad. It makes it very, very difficult to find safe harbor. And there were times where I could not find safe harbor. There were times I was running around and being capsized, being battered and bruised by the ocean that I was traveling on, and this ship that I was on that I thought was sturdy and was powerful and mighty, it kept taking damage, and it was on the verge of sinking. My ship's watertight integrity was completely compromised. Because I compromised myself by not actively addressing what I was feeling. Instead of actively addressing what I was feeling, I said I just decided to put it away. Which added more turbulence to an already turbulent ocean. And at times it was difficult for me to find, safe harbor. I say that because it was difficult to find safe harbor, and at times it is difficult to find for me to find safe harbor. Safe harbor is supposed to be where in the arms and in the presence of people that care about you, that love you, that want you, that need you, that, you know, respect and honor you. And that's all well and good. But the one thing I want to ask you brothers, is this one question before I get up out of here. Can you find safe harbor in yourself? Is there a place in your heart or in your mind or in your soul that where you can take your boat to, or you can navigate yourself to, and you know once you enter those oceans are going to remain calm regardless of what's being introduced into them. That's something I found I had difficulty with for a good long while. Wasn't able to find safe harbor. I mean, now I'm able to find safe harbor in people and amongst certain people that love and care about me. So I'm able to find that safe harbor, and I'm able to enter that harbor, into the waters of that harbor, and never be impeded. By what's going on. But is there a place inside of you? Is there some place that's inside of you that you can navigate to, and it's a safe harbor, it's safe harbor for you? Navigating us as men, navigating our emotions is a difficult task. Because of the rhetoric that we're supposed to be men, we're supposed to be strong, and we're supposed to be able to not be able to navigate our emotions, and we're supposed to ignore our emotions because they're immaterial. And some of our sisters have been told this. Some of our sisters have been taught this, and a lot of us as men have been taught this as well. You're not a man if you should display your emotions. You're not a man if you cry. They say real men don't cry. Well, that's a damn lie. Real men do cry. Real men, at least to me, and I'm not gonna even say what is real and what isn't real, but us as men are supposed, we should be able to navigate our emotions so that way we can find empathy not only with ourselves but with other people. We weren't taught to navigate our emotions and find empathy within ourselves. We weren't taught how to properly navigate our emotions and to find safe harbor within ourselves first before we can find safe harbor in other people. And sometimes it ends up being the opposite, that we find safe harbor in other people before we're able to safely navigate the safe harbor within ourselves. And again, both of those things are good. Both of those things are well and good because at least you're finding safe harbor. But we weren't taught that. We weren't given a blueprint to navigate our emotions. We weren't given all that. We weren't even given the key to unlock all that. We weren't given the key to unlock all that. It took several traumatic events for me to even break down the wall of my damn emotions. It took several traumatic events to break down the wall of my emotions. And it took several unsuccessful attempts for me to understand where I lie, where I stand in my emotions. Back then, I didn't understand what they were. Wasn't strong in that. Now, I'm understanding my emotions better. I understand what they are, what they are not. I understand what they mean and what they don't mean, but I also understand how they can positively and negatively affect me, and how they also can positively or negatively affect the people that I love and I care about. But also not even that, but also my little universe, which includes the people that share this universe with me and that are in my orbit, but also the greater world around me. Back then, I had no idea what it was or what it meant. Back then, I I had no understanding. Now, I have an understanding. I at least have a working knowledge of my emotions. And I know those things. I'm better understanding those things that trigger those strong emotions for me. Now, do I allow those things to always trigger those emotions in me? No. But there are some emotions that we just have to acknowledge. We just have to. Sadness is an emotion that we as men have to acknowledge. Grief is a process that we as men, we as brothers, have to acknowledge. And we have to be fully aware of that. And we have to be fully aware to allow ourselves to go through that process. We have to be fully aware to allow ourselves to feel what we feel. It's okay to feel. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel, to be sad. It's okay to feel certain ways. But once you identify that you feel a certain way, approach it. Talk to someone about it. You know, talk to someone about it. Talk to someone about it so you both can talk. It can be talked out. It can be analyzed. And if you gotta cry, then cry. If you got to shed tears, shed tears. There is nothing wrong with a man who, there's nothing wrong with a brother who sheds tears. Some of y'all ladies and some of y'all men are going to rail against what I just said, but I'm saying there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with a man that sheds tears. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That proves that man is human, because before we were men, before we were black men and black women, we are human first. And all humans have emotions. All humans have emotions. Men and women have emotions. It's something that God gave us equally, not separately, but equally. That's my story, y'all. I'm gonna get up out of here. But before I do, I want to thank those who tuned in and watched this. As difficult as it is for me to, as I won't say as difficult, as easy as this is for me to talk about, there's a degree of difficulty in it. There's a large degree of difficulty in it as well, because of the nature of what it is for me. Because when I talk about it, I am brought back to those moments, to those instances, to those places in those places in time. And sometimes for me, reliving certain instances are extremely painful. But it's my, but it is always been my hope. It's always been my thing and my hope that I hope that through my transparency, that some that maybe one or two brothers out there can latch on to what I'm talking, latch on to what I'm saying and heal. Latch on to what I'm saying and understand certain understand that it's okay to be, to have emotions. It's okay to navigate your emotions, but it's also okay to heal. That's my hope through these conversations. That's my hope through the things that I talk about. I know you guys mostly see me in the evenings, but since I've been recovering from surgery, I felt, I mean, I've been a lot more, been trying to find things I could talk, not find things I could talk about, but I felt that this was something to talk. It was a subject that I could talk about. I wanted to talk about with you guys. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys who tuned in, who have been watching and listening. If you're gonna be watching this on a repeat, you can check out that version of it on YouTube. You can also check it out on Facebook Live. Make sure you like and you share. Make sure you like and you share it and comment on it. Tell me what you think about the subject. Tell me how you think I did about the subject, how I did about the subject. Because again, this is a subject that I think a lot of us as men need to talk about. One of the more important things, and not, I won't say one of the more most important things, but one of the important things that we need to talk about. I don't pretend to have the answer. I don't pretend to have all the answers because I'm trying to find those, because I'm in process of finding those answers myself. I don't pretend to be a mental health professional because I am not. I'm just a guy with a set of experiences that I think a lot of brothers could benefit from. They could benefit from the lessons of my failures. I said, I'm about to get up out of here, man. Continue to follow us, like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as TikTok. We also have a Twitch page. We also have a website page at www.trailblazerradio.com. And we also got merch, y'all. Yeah, we got merch. So make sure you go to our website, www.trailblazerswithaz.com/shop. There you will find our shop. We have t-shirts, we have hoodies, we have coffee mugs. I am looking to try to add some new merch, at least before the week is out. Some new merch before the week is out. If you like something that you see on there, by all means, you know, put in an order. That order will be sent out to you as expediently as it possibly can. As always, we appreciate your love. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your viewership and your listenership. It means a lot to us. It really does mean a lot to us. I enjoy being in front of this microphone. I enjoy being in front of the camera. I enjoy being in front of you and having an honest conversation. I honestly enjoy it. I enjoy it because it brings talking about it to you guys here, and then you guys, you know, conversing with me in the chat, but also afterwards, it brings about some revelatory knowledge to me, because maybe there was something that I missed, or maybe there was something that I didn't catch. I want us brothers to be more involved in our our mental and emotional well-being. I want us to be more involved in how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves. That's the reason why Man Cave Conversations exists. It is a safe space for you as gentlemen, as men, to come in and express how you feel about a situation. It is a judgment-free zone. We can have a conversation. One of the things that I want to do, and I'm planning on doing it, I want to do a men's conference with just us as gentlemen. Of course, the sisters, you guys are most definitely invited. But I want to do something for us as brothers. I want to have some sort of conference for us as men, just to sit down and have honest conversations about a lot of things. Nothing adversarial or anything of that nature. Just us sitting down, having conversations. Because we as men need to have these conversations. These conversations need to happen. These conversations need to take place. Because if they don't take place, we as men are still going to be going down the same downward, I won't say a downward spiral, but we're going to be stuck in a place and we're not going to be able to recover. With that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this particular podcast show today. As well as if you guys enjoyed the show earlier this morning with Latanya Harris Gooden and her guest earlier with Power Hour. That was a very powerful show, guys. So make sure you catch that on the replay as well. Also make sure that you catch Miss Gooden tomorrow with Critical Con with Girl Chat Weekly, and hopefully Mr. Tony Wade and Kites Rodriguez will be back on with their shows. But continue to follow us, continue to support us. We appreciate the love, we appreciate the support that you guys give us. It is so welcomed. But for now, I'm going to take you guys home with a track that I created called Out West. Those of you guys that know that like West Coast stuff, this is especially for you guys. So I love you guys. I love you guys to life. I love you guys to live. Make sure you take advantage of every day that you have above ground, because you never know when the timing that God's going to call you home. And so take advantage of it. So live today like it's the last, like it's your live today like it's your last day on earth. Live for today. And as I always like to say on these podcasts, man, number one, take care of each other. Number two, love on each other. And number three, we already know there's a crazy, crazy world out here. So above all those things, y'all make sure y'all be safe out here. And y'all make sure that you guys are safe out here. Safe arrivals, safe departures. I love you guys. I will see you guys in the next one. Thank you.
Trailblazers Radio has merch. Check out our website, www.trailblazersradio.com/shop, to check out our store. You'll find an assortment of hoodies and t-shirts in various colors and sizes, as well as coffee mugs in various colors. Again, check out our website at www.trailblazersradio.com/shop to check out our merch.